Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Crypto Commander. We are your hosts. I'm John Nose.
I am Luna.
And we've got the one and only MTG Peddler with us.
It wouldn't be a proper week if MTG Peddler wasn't on the podcast. How's it going, everybody?
I know. It's still tis the season to be jolly, right?
I love it here. You guys know that.
And I was gonna say too that I feel that you're on the wrong side of the fence, man. I think you should be in the co-host spot right here.
I feel like I'm auditioning right now. Like every time I'm on here, I'm like, oh, I'm gonna get this slot one of these times. I know it.
This guy. Yeah, American Idol, or he won't give up. You know. SMH. But follow along with the format here for everybody's listening pleasure. We're going to just move right along to movers and shakers. We got Staff of Domination at $5.05, which is record low, which is at a record low and bottoming out. Rings of Brightheart, $6.42. Record low and bottoming out. This one I absolutely adore. Master Transmuter. $4.74. Record low. Trending down. Does anybody else love this card as much as I do?
I don't think as much as you, but I'm a fan.
Yeah, Master.
I'm generally surprised that it's trending low. I mean, definitely for if you're going to like build a blue artifact themed deck, it definitely seems like a solid card to go in there.
I'm just grabbing at least one or two copies of this guy. Solid, man. One blue, three other artifact creature, human artificer. You tap one blue in it, return an artifact you control to its owner's hand. You may put an artifact card from your hand onto the battlefield. It's 1/2. It's pretty solid. Moving up to number 3, though, Karvek the Merciless, $24.48, which is up 140%. Number 2, Into the North, $2.60, which is up 176.60%. And last but not least, coming to number 1 this week, Magus of the Vineyard, $8.15. Which is up 338.17%.
Only my stock portfolio performed so well.
Yeah. Yeah, that's 338.17%. I mean, yeah, you're looking at it was steady at
going around a dollar for a while.
I think it's safe to say 75 cents, but yeah, a dollar, sure. A dollar for a long time, man. And then all of a sudden, I'm $8. And that's movers and shakers for this week.
All right. We're going to look at the top decks of the week. Now here in Standard, number 1 is Gruul Adventures. Number 2, Demir Rogues. Number 3 is Mono Green. We're going to go ahead and look at our modern top 3. We have Burn, Jund, and Red Deck Wins. Going right into Legacy, Omnitel is number 1, Death and Taxes is number 2, and Dark Depths at number 3. Looking over at Pauper, the number 1 deck is Mono Black, number 2 is Affinity, and number 3 is Boros Flashback. Going to look at our Commander's top decks, Timna the Weaver, these are a complicated name, Therosis, Triton Hero, and Kruom Ledevik's Opus. I apologize if I messed up any of those names. All right, then we're going to look at Pioneer's top 3 decks of the week. Mono Black, Red Deck Wins, and Spirits. Finally, we're going to top off the list with Historic. Historic's 4-color midrange. Goblins coming at number 2, and Sultai mid-ramp. All right, that was our top decks of the week.
Magic the Gathering Arena updates. Not to get ahead of ourselves, because I think there's another. Yeah, there's going to be another thing we're going to talk about Magic the Gathering Arena a little bit later in this podcast. But for right now, Premier Draft, Ravnica Allegiance, January 8th through January 15th. FNN at Home, Artisan, January 15th. If you guys haven't heard yet, I've been seeing this on Twitter for the last 5 days. Magic the Gathering Celebrity Calendar. Have any of you seen this?
I have not.
No, I haven't heard about it until now. I'm kind of interested exactly who's going to be in it and what's it all going to be about.
Yeah. Brian Kibler. I wanted to say some more names, but well, I guess when we find out more news about that, we'll let you guys know. Moving on to Caldheim. What do you guys want to talk about Caldheim? Because the only thing I know so far is besides the first two cards they ever spoiled, I did not watch that video they put out, by the way, is that tree.
You know, the world tree.
Yeah, the world tree where everything's connected. That reminds me of Dark Souls. I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with Dark Souls, but in there, like a tree is connected to everything in the world. But this is really a cool idea. I love it.
It definitely goes into kind of like in the Norse mythology side of things where the world tree is within Asgard and all of that. For me, what's interesting, though, is that this world tree is not legendary. There's even a spotlight card called the Path to the World Tree. So the simple fact that what this card can do and the fact that it's a story spotlight, I'm genuinely surprised it's not legendary.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah,
I was very surprised that this was not a legendary land.
Same here, guys. You know, to have one of on the field seems to me, it seems to go with the lore. I do see on Facebook that some people believe that the lore, it would be more or less, you know, there'd be more than one. But I'm on the opposite end of that spectrum.
Yeah, I don't know. As far as I looked into it, they if it has a connection to one specific character, they would want to make it more of a legendary land. It's interesting, though, choosing forward for that, because I'm just thinking back to Eldraine. We had a whole bunch of castles, and those weren't legendary, and they had connection with the entire story. So I guess for the world tree going forward, they might just be sticking with that, where it's only if it has certain things to do with one character, that's what they want to do. But as far as for it to be a spotlight story, it to be a main integral part of what this plane is, it's and what it can do, the fact that you can sacrifice it and search for any number of gods to put them onto the battlefield, that is an insane ability. It is just very surprising it's not legendary.
I agree with you.
There's definitely some cool stuff being spoiled. Have you seen the flip Planeswalker yet? There's a flip card Planeswalker.
Yeah, we were talking about Tybalt.
The black red one. Yeah, Tybalt, man. Oh, man, he's better than the original Tybalt.
Oh, yeah, this one is insane.
I'm looking at him right now. So Tybalt is a 7-mana Planeswalker, which I've had some speculation about this with other people in conversations, which I personally view this being as too high. But the simple fact that it's a flip Planeswalker is why I should say it differently. There are two different cards on this one card.
Modal card.
Yeah. So the fact that you can choose either to play Valky, God of Lies, or you can choose to play Tybalt, Cosmic Imposter, is kind of why it's at 7-mana. Looking at the abilities, it has a static ability where you can just, whenever you cards that are exiled with Tybalt, you can play them. You can plus up, exile the top card of each player's library, -3, exile artifact or creature, -8, exile all cards from all graveyards and add 3 red mana. Has 5 loyalty. For me personally, I think this should be at 5 or 6 mana. The reason is static gives it 1 mana. The +2 would give it 1 to 2 mana. The getting rid of an artifact or a creature, that's 2 mana there. And then the ultimate, that would for me would be another mana. So for me, I see it as 5 or 6. But what can push it over the top at 7 mana, the fact that you can choose to play this Valky, God of Lies, or the Tybalt.
I'm actually going to piggyback you one more. I believe that emblem that you get just for this guy hitting the battlefield is going to pick you up a couple points of mana too. Because normally, you know, I as far as I know, every Planeswalker that's ever existed, the emblem is part of their ultimate. This guy, you get the emblem as soon as he drops. So if he drops and you do his, let's say you do his +2, exile the top card of each player's library, you can play those spells for the duration of the game. Because that emblem stays.
You get an emblem when he comes into play?
When he comes into play.
What? So and, as soon as he enters...
You can use mana as if it were any color to cast those spells.
Whoa.
He's insane. He is insane.
He's definitely made a comeback from his good old 2-mana Planeswalker days.
Yeah. So people like me who are upset with that version, we should rejoice.
And his flip side's not bad either. The Valky, God of Lies. It's one generic and a black legendary creature god. When Valky enters the battlefield, each opponent reveals their hand. For each opponent, exile a creature card they revealed that way until Valky leaves the battlefield. And you can pay X to choose a creature card exiled with Valky with converted mana cost X, and Valky becomes a copy of that card on a 2/1 body.
Wow. Yeah.
Both sides are not bad.
I definitely, I feel like this is going to be more of like a commander play. It might be fringe standard play in my opinion, but the fact that both sides are just so strong, it'll be interesting where this lands exactly in constructed decks.
And both sides do say each player. So either way, if you're in a multiplayer commander game, you're getting benefit out of each side of the card.
I believe that that's where Magic's going, man, is commander.
I hope not. I don't play it. I like limited.
Yeah, I'm definitely a limited person myself, to each their own. But as far as with the shops not being able to play, definitely getting together with some friends, it's a whole lot easier to play some commander. But I'm over there with Peddler. I like me some draft.
I do like these dual lands that come into play tapped.
Oh, yes, yeah. Snowlands. So even given Pauper some little shenanigans to do.
Yeah, I love how in this set they're giving love to a lot of different formats, man.
It's a shame they come into play tapped, though. I mean, obviously it would be a dual land otherwise, so you have to have some downside. But, you know, it's been I feel like it's been done. Make one or other color mana. It comes into play tapped. I feel like it's been done, and now it's just Snowland.
Yeah, speaking of
Snowland. Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, yeah, I think the reason why they didn't make them untapped is because they're fetchable. The fact that
Glacial
Floodplains, it says plains or islands, so that could be a bit concerning, the fact that we already have Shocklands and going to other formats, but you are right. They've done different things in the past, and this is a little bit of an adjustment, making them Snowlands.
And a common.
Yes.
Yes, common. And the art on them is beautiful, too, by the way. Every single one of them is gorgeous.
I agree. And at common, going to be easy to grab playsets of this, guys.
Oh, yeah.
It might rival against the ones that are already out there that, like, give you one life, maybe, but those aren't fetchable. Are they?
No, they are not.
Right, so these are going to open. Okay. Speaking of getting cold, though, you know, snowing in Kaldheim, how are you guys doing where you're at? Are you guys seeing any snow or anything like that?
Currently, it's just chilly here. We haven't had much snow the past couple of years. We actually got more snow back in early December than we did the past 2 years put together. I'm in New Jersey.
All right. Luna, how about you?
Yeah, I'm over here in the Michigan, and we got snow on the ground. It's definitely chilly outside.
Good.
It goes with the flavorful side of Kaldheim coming around.
Yeah, good segue into the Magic the Gathering blankets that I've been seeing everywhere on Facebook. And apparently these things are real. And not just real. What am I saying? Apparently, these things are high quality.
If I could wrap myself around with a Magic card, I would love it. And the fact that now I can do it in a high quality blanket, that makes it even better.
Just got word that they're selling them at Hot Topic now.
That's interesting.
So now I'm going to be looking into this because I am a Magic the Gathering fanatic.
Yeah, it looks like you can go over to the MTG Pro Shop and check out some blankets. And then, yeah, they're over there at Hot Topic. It looks at the Magic the Gathering or MTG Pro Shop has a few different options. I'm seeing Bolas, and then over there at Hot Topic, they just have the back of the card where you just, like, if you were to have a giant card, that's what the blanket is.
Right. And Card of the Week. So this week for Card of the Week, we're going to go ahead and let Peddler take over.
All right, so this time, Card of the Week, we're going way back machine to Alara Reborn. Bloodbraid Elf. It's a red, a green, and two generic for a creature, Elf Berserker, at uncommon. Has haste, and it has everyone's favorite mechanic, Cascade, on a 3/2 body. It's a very, very, very straightforward card. Turn 4, you're laying this guy down, you're swinging in, and you're cascading. It's a beautiful card. I had so much fun playing this back when Jund was in standard. Oh,
yeah.
Bloodbraid Elf into Sprouting Thrynax. Oh, you couldn't beat it.
Yeah. I remember when it was Type 2 legal. You know, you had Conflux, Shards of Alara, Alara Reborn, you know, and then that whole crossover where the Lorwyn block would be rotating out.
Yes.
410, and they had Magic 2010. Then they changed that to M10, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right?
Then it rolled right into original Zendikar.
Yeah, they didn't know what they would have done. They're like, this is X edition. This is 10th edition. No, this is Magic 2010. No. This is M10.
it was definitely a crazy time back then. There was a lot of stuff going on. It was busy. It was a busy time in Magic.
And
wasn't Bloodbraid right away? It almost was banned for Modern, or am I thinking of a different card? Because I remember it was banned for Modern for a long time. Then out of nowhere, they unbanned it along with Jace the Mind Sculptor.
Was Modern even a thing back in Alara Reborn? I don't think it was.
Oh yeah, Modern was a thing back
then. Was it? I don't even remember.
I don't remember there being a ban on Bloodbraid Elf, but there was other cards too that were suspect, you know. But there was other shenanigans going on where it was counter two spells, you know, on the stack. And what would do with Cascade though, at that time frame, the ruling was it would counter one of them. So you can counter like the first card or you can counter the Cascade, which one you
That's play. Right, I remember that.
You know, so there was other cards that were being looked at to be banned.
It was actually banned in 2013 at the time when Jund was the best mid-range deck around. And I wasn't playing at that time, but that a complication with the counter spell, I can definitely understand why that would have hit a banning.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying I don't remember it being banned. I just remember that there was other cards that were suspect of being banned at the time. You know, Emrakul was a thing. You know, the Eldrazi were really scary, man. You had the Eye of Ugin going on, you know, you had everything, you know. I think Reflecting Pool was legal then too, wasn't it?
Yes, because Reflecting Pool came out, I believe, in Lorwyn.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there was a lot of shenanigans going on as far as the whole rotation thing, you know. At that time, too, they weren't sure if they wanted to go two blocks, three block, you know, two in the block, three in the block, four in a block, you know. So many times have we went through, this is rotation, now this is rotation, now this is rotation. We're going to go back to the way it really was, and or the way it was. Maybe I'm just talking circles here, but.
No, you're right, because Morrowind, Eventide, Shadowmoor,
yeah.
And Lorwyn, I don't even remember them all, but there was like weird.
It was Eventide, Morningtide, yeah. Shadowmoor, and Lorwyn, yeah.
There we go, yeah, because it was two blocks, but it was still in the same.
It was four sets in one block. It was four sets in one block, and then when Shards of Alara, Alara Reborn, and Conflux came out, there was three in that block. You know, again, a very confusing time. It was the same time frame as X, you know, X where it was 10th edition, and then you had. I don't want to repeat myself, but it was a very confusing time, man.
It really was.
You know, but everybody was happy to get a Nicol Bolas Planeswalker.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. I know Mike Cube was happy to get it. Now, Luna, this is something that I've been wanting to get on the podcast for a while, some lore. And you've got some lore for Kaldheim.
Yeah, so as a little bit of speculation, but as far as the lore, we have the return of a Phyrexian. Now, Phyrexians were getting spread around when Karn was infected with the Phyrexian oil, and then as he jumped around, that's how some of the Phyrexians were spread. And here in Kaldheim, we have the return of a Phyrexian Praetor. We only have the confirmation of one of them, the Green Praetor, but as far as what this means for future sets, it is quite interesting. It's going to be intriguing. Is Tybalt coming in and bringing the Phyrexians? Is he the one doing this? Did Karn at one point jump to Kaldheim and kind of left around some of that oil and it just infected some creatures? I'm quite curious how this is going to go forward affecting Magic. Because I know Karn went back with the Silek, whether it was a different spelling or not. He did grab the Silek over in Dominaria, and he headed over to New Phyrexia. So the fact that we're having a Phyrexian pop up over here in Kaldheim, it's given a lot of speculation to different individuals.
I mean, I've heard about the Phyrexian army so many times in Magic. You know, how it just keeps going back. We went back to Dominaria, you know. I keep waiting for that day when we go back to Lorwyn.
That would be awesome. I would love to go back to Lorwyn. It's such a cool concept of the, those four sets in that block.
Yeah,
Kith. Like, I loved Eventide and Morningtide, how it was like the Kithkin. Like Morningtide was like, it was like this bright, sunny, everyone was happy, and it was like, you know, people were just working. Yes. And then when Eventide kicked in, it was like everything was just dark. The Kithkin were all just like deformed and stuff. It was cool. It was a really cool setting.
Yeah, you had Wither. Wither was a thing.
Wither was a thing. Mm-hmm. That was a damage gets dealt as -1/-1 counters, correct, to creatures?
Yeah, and then right. You had Untap Symbol.
That's right, the Untap.
Yeah. Yeah. Painter's Servant. Painter's Servant. It's a highly sought-after card, Painter's Servant. That came out in that time frame.
Take me back in the Wayback Machine. I'm like, oh, wow. I forgot all about the Untap Symbol.
Oh. There's a lot of things you're going to be, you know, as you come on this podcast more and more, you'll realize, man, because I'm almost on almost every episode, you know, that there's a lot of way back, man. You know, if you could design a Magic the Gathering card, what would it be?
I guess for me, if I could design any Magic card, I guess I would have to go with like a red Planeswalker. I would want to make them probably 3 red. And go with 2 loyalty. I would want to be able to do the plus up ability to just like I'm shocking a creature. And then I would want to do that. Yeah, probably be +2 to be able to shock a creature. And then I would want to do either -2 or -3, realistically -3 to be able to bolt a planeswalker or a player. And then I want to do the ultimate to be -X, or I think probably -6 would be the best. So I would do deal X damage to each opponent dealing the X damage, where X is the amount of lands they control. I said that was a lot of X's, a little complicated, but essentially what I want to do is -6 and deal X damage to my opponent, and that's how many lands they have. I think that would be interesting.
It kind of reminds me of like I think it was in Unglued. It was like the customer service worst nightmare. It's like target spell does X damage to Y creatures that Z players control, or something like that.
Yeah, just a whole bunch of complications.
I guess you're putting me on the spot though, because I didn't have any time to prepare for this. What do you think about a blue sorcery? Because I'm a blue player, right? A blue sorcery, and I'm not making it an instant, but a sorcery, because it's got to have some negatives to, because it's a very powerful card, right? It's a sorcery that simply says, take 2 extra turns. Target player takes 2 extra turns.
What's the mana cost?
Right? Hold on. You sacrifice your whole hand. You discard your whole entire hand, right? You discard your hand. Mill half your deck. Round it down. 4 blue, 2 other.
So you're making 6 mana, discard your hand, mill half your library, take 2 extra turns.
Yeah.
Sorcery speed. That's quite interesting. Yeah, I've seen cards where you've been able to take extra turns. There's definitely been cards where you mill. So this would be interesting to helping with a mill self-mill strategy, kind of like a lab mat kind of thing going on. But taking 2 extra turns, I like the spiciness.
Yeah. It's got to have a lot of negatives to it, though, because of the casting costs, you know. I don't know.
There's also that card in Kaldheim, too, that lets you take an extra turn. It's 6 mana, I believe, and it makes 2 1/1 bird tokens.
That's a lot of bonuses, though. Where's the negative to that, man? You take one
extra... It's a sorcery. It's a sorcery.
Take one extra turn. I'm going to have to get me a playset of that. Is that mythic or just rare?
I believe it is mythic. It's mythic.
I'm gonna.
Oh no! It's 7 mana sorcery mythic. You create 2 1/1 bird creature tokens with flying. You take an extra turn after this one, and then exile the card. You can foretell it for so the foretell cost of paying the 2 generic, but then foretell it for 4 generic and 2 blue. So
That's where I got 6 from. I knew it was 6 somewhere, and I forgot about foretell.
What is foretell?
Foretell is a new mechanic coming from Kaldheim. Essentially, what you're going to do at first, the speed of the card, so most of the time it will be sorcery speed, you're going to pay 2 mana generic, and you're going to exile this card. And then while this card is in exile, then you can pay its foretell cost to be able to play it. And there was a horse, the Cosmos Charger, where foretelling cards from your hand cost one less and can be done on any player's turn. So foretelling is on your turn, and you can cast it for its foretell cost as its speed of the card. So it was instant or sorcery.
Wow. I like
it. Yeah, it's pretty sweet. And there's also that other blue guy that gets +1/+1 for each card in your hand and for each card you have in the foretell exile slot.
Oh, yeah, the god, Alruind, god of cosmos, where it gets +1/+1. Yeah. That is quite an interesting card. One thing I thought that was really cool about it is its other side is a bird. It's a 2-mana 2/3. And whenever it deals combat damage to a player, you return it to its owner's hand and you scry too. So it's like you can play it for a bird early game, and late game, you can just play it as a god. The god is a 1/1, unfortunately, but like you said, it gets all those +1/+1 for cards in your hand and for each foretold spell you own in exile.
Yeah, it seems pretty cool. I like that card a lot. I guess it means I'm up, right, for designing a card? I mean, I'm going to cheat a little bit. I'm going to cheat a little bit because, I mean, John, you know me pretty well. You know my love of lands. Actually, that's one of the big aspects of my channel. It's the saga for me collecting a copy of every single basic land ever printed.
When Luna told me this is what we're going to do, I'm like, I just know he's going to make a land. Go ahead.
Oh, you know he's going to make a land.
I knew it.
I don't want to make a card. I want to design the art for a card, because I do a little bit of painting in my off time. I am still terrible. A kindergartner could destroy me in painting, but I would love to make the art for a basic land. That's what I would love to do.
So what land would it be in particular? Would it be like an island, a swamp, a mountain?
It would probably be an island. I feel like I have a lot of lands, a lot. And I always tend to be drawn more towards the islands. So especially John Avon Island. My God, John Avon Islands and forests. That just makes me want to draw landscapes. I could look at that man's art all day.
Yeah, I like looking at your land collection personally.
Oh, man, just wait to the end of the month. I got a big update coming up.
There you go. There's a shout out for Peddler, guys.
Yeah, you're right. You knew I'd sneak it in there somewhere. But my goal is every single basic land ever. So we're talking Guru lands. We're talking the summer magic lands. It's going to be expensive. Every single basic ever.
So that's like even including you were to do like the magic fests where they had the promo lands or any other conventions. Oh, that's a really cool idea. I thought of doing that when I first started playing Magic, and then I realized just how many Magic sets there really were and how much truly dedication that would take. So hats off to you.
It's not even how many Magic sets there are. It's the expense of the extreme rare lands. I found one set of all 15 summer magic lands, the Edgar lands. It's only 5,500 euros, I think it was going for, which is roughly 7,000 American. It's expensive. And then you have stuff like the Guru lands. I think the Guru Island goes for like $800-900. It's expensive, but it's going to be cool when it's done. I'm actually going to be opening all three Euro land packs. Are you guys familiar with Euro land packs?
No.
All right. So this is going back, I think, 2000 or 2001. It was with Prophecy. They did this thing with this like, kind of regional, almost like a buy a box promo before there was a buy a box promo. If you bought a box of Prophecy in the European market, so you have to be over in Europe, you got one of three different packs of lands, and there are different colored wrappers. There's red, blue, and purple, and they all have five basic lands that are set in actual real world places in Europe. And I've scoured YouTube. I have not found anyone that's ever opened all three at once. And very, very few of people have opened them up at all on YouTube. But I'm going to be the first person on YouTube to open all three Euro land packs.
You're talking about the ones with the different colored wrappers. I remember now. I saw that on one of your episodes.
Yeah, I have two out of three. I'm waiting for the third one. It's going to be arriving from France any day now. I've been waiting for about 20 days. So it should be here any day now. I'm very, very excited about it. Because, John, I absolutely adore lands. And these things were not cheap either, but it's well worth it. It's a big part of the collection over and done with, and it's just going to be a blast to open them. All my subscribers know how much I love lands, so they're all pumped for it too. It's going to be fun.
You guys love your lands. You want to protect your lands. You want to get one of the best play mats out there in the market. And you're probably already painting a picture of a name brand in your name already. But I've got to put a big shout out for Inked Gaming. And maybe that's the one you're already thinking of. Because in my opinion, Inked Gaming has to be one of the best play mats out there on the market. Have you guys heard of Inked Gaming?
Oh, I've heard of them. Heard very good things.
Yeah.
I've always been definitely surprised with their product quality.
Take them and put them right in the washing machine.
That's heavy duty.
That's sick, man. They ain't gonna come out and be all wrinkly or nothing. Wow. Now there's something else I want to say too. Is we want to make some more Cryptic Commander content. Now Luna does do a lot of the YouTube stuff, and we're really gonna step it up here. And that actually brings me a question to you, Peddler.
Hmm.
How do you balance, you know, the Magic the Gathering content that you produce and your home life? You know, because I know as a content creator myself, and Luna, you can probably agree and attest to this, you know, but how do you do it? How do you do it, man? Let us know.
I mean, for me, it's I make sure that I am well aware that it is just a hobby. So family and my you know, actual real life commitments always come first. That will mean that sometimes I'll go 5-7 days not making a video, but I mean that's okay. I understand how YouTube works, and making a video every day is great, but at the same time it's unnecessary. Your subscribers will not go anywhere if you don't make a video for 5 days. So they're just going to wait for you to be like, oh cool, Peddler's in the video out. Let's check it out. So don't feel like you have to confine yourself to, I need to make a video. It's been 2 days. I have not made a video. I have to get out there. I mean, I need my people to see me. It's not like that. People will be excited to see your video at any interval. So it's always family first. Then that's the order of life. It's family, work, then hobbies. I mean, hobbies is probably even lower. It's probably other stuff you can put in front of it. But MTG, unless you're actually, you know, earning a living off of this, it's a hobby. Keep it a hobby. Hobbies should be fun. Hobbies are expensive, but hobbies should be fun. It should never, ever, ever feel like a commitment, because then there's no real point, because then you're losing the fun. And if you're not having fun doing it, then why bother? That's how I look at it.
Good point. That's why I'm glad I asked you.
I went to college.
I definitely appreciate your insight. It's definitely been a little bit stressful. It's been trying to figure out how to balance life and doing the MTG streaming and everything. It's been complicated, but the way you just explained it definitely made it was helpful and it's thorough, and you're right. Unless you're literally doing this for a living professionally and making money off of it, it's just a hobby.
Yeah, and you just have to, you know, it's just that's the thing. Since this is something you do with your spare time, and let's be honest, time is worth more than money. Like once time's gone, it's gone. And as you get older, and I don't know how old you are, Luna, but let me tell you, I'm pushing 40. I'll be 40 this year, and time just goes by faster and faster and faster every year. You realize how much of a privilege and a luxury free time is. So I don't use my free time lightly at all. If it's not something I'm enjoying, I'm not doing it. And that's just how I look at my YouTube channel. I still have a blast doing it. I mean, and it's not just my, like, as you guys know, it's not just, you know, making the video and then you're done. You know, I answer all my comments. Many of my subscribers find me on Facebook. I talk to them on Facebook. I talk to them via email, via Discord, via my Patreon. I'm always talking to someone that's Magic related, but I make sure that, you know, it's in my spare time. I reply when I can. If I'm busy, I don't reply until I'm free. And I feel that anyone that has an ounce of respect for you is going to respect that.
Something I want to say real quick too is when I got into, you know, the podcast. Hold on, I have a train. Okay. When I first started doing the podcast, I didn't really know what I was going to get into, because I thought it was just, you know, record, publish it. But no, there's editing and there's marketing and then there's networking. You know, there's a lot to go with it, you know, and I didn't realize what all really went with it. Did you realize everything that went with it when you first started?
Not at all. Not at all. My first video was just me, like, just having the camera, my laptop camera. So it looks like it was, like, recorded in, like, 1960 Soviet Russia. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, this is a magic card.
Yeah.
I just opened it. I was really, really bad. And I didn't really understand even how to make the video. But then I got the flow of it. I started watching more people do it. I'm like, okay, I see how they're doing it. They have this kind of tripod setup. So let me try that out. And it worked better. I'm like, all right, my lighting's terrible. So then I worked on my lighting. And yeah. Then it's just like, I try to go in unscripted all the time also. Every now and then I'll have like talking points that I can glance down at. But I like being unscripted. I feel like that's when I operate at my best. Like I come on here, like I literally just like I have talking points and I have like little notes, but I'm not reading anything. I don't have anything prepared. I just come out here and wing it. I feel like that's where I'm at my strongest, and I feel like that really reflects me best as a person and my genuine excitement about something. Especially when you're looking and talking about these new cards and the new set, there's a lot to be excited about. So I really feel that organic excitement that comes out from just winging it really, really helps.
Yeah. And again, we really appreciate you coming back on the show.
Hey, anytime, man. Like to kind of knock down the fourth wall a little bit. And John gave me a call like an hour before recording, and I was in the middle of something. And I was like, give me an hour. I'll come on. That's just how unprepared I am for tonight's episode.
Yeah. We had a special guest, which we just couldn't get a hold of. And we tried, but we just couldn't get a hold of the guest that was supposed to come on. And Peddler, man, you're just too kind enough to fill in. We really appreciate you, bud.
Hey, man, no worries. It just means that your time slot works best for me. This is generally the time of day when I'm available. So, hey, I'm available.
You are one of the most requested guests to come on.
That mean I was requested once?
You and Emmanuel Torres over at the Sliver Hive. You know, he's mm-hmm. one of the other that's very highly requested.
That's awesome. I appreciate everyone that wants to hear me talk. I honestly appreciate that.
You know, something else I want to say too before we do let everybody go is we are going to go ahead and try to move forward with the playmats for the Cryptic Commander playmats. It will be the design of, you know, the logo, the Cryptic Commander for the podcast, and then it's going to have the stretched out black to where, you know, the sides of the mat is black. It looks really nice, man. It's dark blue. It looks really nice. I myself cannot wait until I start playing on one of these. And, you know, you can look forward to us talking about it over in the Facebook group as the weeks go on. I'm not looking to get them in this week or next week with every, you know, all the shipping that's going on, all the problems with shipping and stuff. So, but we are looking to get those in and maybe even giving out one as a gift to somebody. Who should we give something out to? You know what? I feel like we should do a gift.
May I, John? May I jump in for 1 second? Why don't you, if you're listening to the podcast, why don't you go check out the Commander YouTube channel? Drop a comment there. That way so they can, you know, get them cross-platformed.
Yeah, that's a thought. Yeah, what should we do? Just have them go over there and just leave a comment in the newest video?
Yeah, just or just like, you know, the next time you're going to make a video, just kind of throw it in there in the beginning. Okay, comment on this video and say playmat, and if you will randomly generate someone that comments playmat, you know.
Yeah, that's a good idea. What do you think, Luna? Should we give somebody a playmat?
Yeah, I think giving somebody a playmat would be amazing. I can definitely work it into the next video, making sure everybody is aware of what's going on. So yeah, we're going to want to give away a playmat in the future. Go ahead and we can have them comment down below and go ahead and spin a wheel or draw a name out of a hat, roll some dice, we'll figure it out. But I think giving away a playmat to a fan would be amazing.
I think it's a good idea. I think we should give it away to somebody that goes over to YouTube and puts a comment on the latest video. And Luna, you should just let everybody know the details as you make the YouTube videos, because it's going to take at least a week or two or three to get it, and then we'll give it out, you know. We're going to have quite a few of them. All right, well, did anybody else have anything else they wanted to add to today's episode?
No, I think we covered a lot today, didn't we? It felt fast today for some reason, but I feel like we covered a lot.
It probably did, man. I don't see a timer on this. Does anybody see a timer? I don't see a timer.
No, I think we're doing good on time. Yeah, we talked about a lot of stuff.
Right. Yeah, you're right, Peddler. It's 46 minutes, so we're 46 minutes in.
Wow, really?
Yeah. Normally it's an hour, so yeah. You're right. Go ahead, Luna.
Oh, yeah, I was just going to say, yeah, we talked about a lot of stuff. We covered up quite a few topics between Arena coming to mobile. That is one thing I don't think we highlighted on. We did talk about future events and going to Arena.
Yeah.
But the fact that Arena is coming to mobile soon is going to be amazing. I'm a little concerned about when somebody's making over 200 scoot swarms, what's going to happen to the phone. But other than that, I think it'll be fun to be able to have another interactive way to play with your friends. Not everybody has an accessible way to play in your laptop. But yeah, I think it'll be amazing.
Well, I think there might be a problem with it. You know, when the whole, what is it, the Apple MacBook was compatible and start playing it, there was updates going on. And I had a whole bunch of problems, man. And I remember reporting on the podcast there was some problems. But there was a whole lot of problems with that update. And for them to do this on mobile too, I can see there's going to be some problems for a little bit, and then they might smooth it out. Now, there's something else too that you're going to have a certain chipset in order to play it.
Over here on their website, I can see your required chipset is the Kirin 970, Snapdragon 850, or the Exynos 9810. I might have been mess up some of those names, but essentially what it's looking like is it's for Android, not iOS, and it's all the newer phones and the newer setups. So if you have an older phone, it might not be compatible.
And they had a date too, didn't they? They had a date, right?
It looks like the beta for Android is going to be released on the 28th.
That's what I heard.
It's going to be the early access.
Now, on this podcast, I reported last year, February, that, you know, when there was rumors going around that there's no way this is going to come out on mobile before 2021 February. And I was right. I was right. But 2 days off, 3 days off. How many days are in this month? 30?
31.
31. So that was what? 3 days off, man.
Well, it's not even still released. It's just the beta.
You're right.
So you're still right.
I wasn't wrong. I wasn't wrong. A certain chipset. What do you think about that?
I mean, I have an iPhone, so it's 2 points. I really don't play Arena, and I don't have an iPhone, so it doesn't really affect me in the slightest.
Well, it means you're going to be giving out your Magic the Gathering Arena codes to your viewers, then.
I always do. I actually send them. I have probably a dozen people that are subscribers that I talk to on the regular, and I do kind of a round robin. It's like I give person one code and I get it, and I get another one, I give that to person two, and I just keep going around the circle.
Yeah. Well, guys, I think it's going to do it for today's episode. And like Peddler said, you know, give us go check us out on YouTube at the Crypto Commander. Go check out our Facebook group at the Crypto Commander. We did change our Patreon over to a program called Buy Me a Cup of Coffee. And we are proud to report that we do have a supporter at the $10 level right now. Let me see if I can find that person. Hold on. You know what? I can just go over to it and tell me the name of the person. There it is. Gabrielle Dethahal. It's spelled Dethahal. Let me double check that. Yes, that's how you spell it. So thank you, Gabriel, for supporting the Crypto Commander. And Gabriel did this by buying us 10 coffees over at Buy Me a Cup of Coffee. Is that what it's called?
It's buymeacoffee.com.
Buymeacoffee.com. And we're called the Crypto Commander over there. So Gabriel, thank you so much for supporting the podcast. We really appreciate it. I'm at a loss for words, so until next time, keep spell slinging.